It's already 10:45, so I'll give you a moment to find your seat since it kind of snuck up on us. We have just a couple of announcements this morning. It's hard to believe, but January 1st is tomorrow, I think, I'm pretty sure. So that means we're entering our January break. So that means there will be only Sunday morning worship. There will be no Sunday night prayer meetings, discipleship groups, or small groups, or Sunday school. Only Sunday morning worship for the entire month of January. So don't forget that. A second and final announcement is that we have broken our goal. We have surpassed our goal for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We had a $1,000 goal, and we hit $1,140. So this goes to international missions. So way to go. That is all the announcements we have. Let us take a moment to silently prepare our hearts for worship. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 98, verses 1 through 6. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your mercies that are new every morning, and we praise you for your renewed mercy this morning. And Lord, as we come to the end of a year and prepare for a new one, God, we just praise you and thank you for your goodness to us this past year. God, we come to you this morning with eager hearts, ready to sing praises to you. Would you help us to cast off any insecurities, or anxieties, or distracting thoughts for just a moment this morning? May you be our only focus. God, would you open our eyes and our hearts to receive your word proclaimed, and may our worship be pleasing to you. Lord, would we leave here more in the image of your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand and sing this morning?
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong I'm Of our prayer arise.
We will now move into a time of confession. In just a minute, we will confess together, but before we do that, let us go to the Lord quietly and confess sins committed in the past week. Please join me in this corporate confession of sin. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Now hear this scripture of assurance from Hebrews 9, verses 24 through 28. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to have suffered repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Now please turn and greet one another in the peace of Christ.
Yeah. our service. Beloved, this is how we ought to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, we bring our praises before you this morning, for you are a good and gracious God. And we know there is no other place in this world we can go where we can receive the very words of eternal life and eternal life itself. We thank you that you have sustained us through 2023, that you have walked with us by your Spirit, that the blood of your Son pleads for us as effectively today as it did a year ago, and it will tomorrow and the next day and the next. So may you receive our prayers this morning. May they be a pleasant aroma before you. First, we want to pray for our brother and sister Corey and Jenny Duncan serving with Healing Nations. Lord, we ask that you will be in the clinic building process, Lord, as the workers have dry season or are able to bring in heavy machinery. I pray that they will make great progress, that they will be able to stay on target for their completion date by the summer. Lord, we ask that you will provide all that the Duncans need financially, all that they need for the clinic, raise the remainder amount of money for Healing Nations in general, but also for them as a family. Lord, as they try to meet their year-end budget giving, Lord, I pray that you will bring in more than they need so that they might have one less thing to worry about in their mission. And Lord, we pray for the February medical team that will be heading to Guatemala. Lord, even now as they raise their support, as they ask time off, as they prepare their hearts and their minds, Lord, may you be uniting that team, preparing them for the work they have. And Lord, may you be preparing the Guatemalans who will receive a tangible expression of the love of Jesus through medical care. Lord, may you be preparing hearts to be willing and ready to not just receive physical healing, but to receive the healer himself, which is your Son, Jesus. Oh Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we also pray for our city. Lord, we want to pray for safety, especially on today. Lord, we know that there'll be many people who will be drinking too much and doing other things. And Lord, we pray for protection against drunk drivers. We know there will be more of those out today. We ask that those who have a problem with alcohol, who might be tempted to drink too much, we ask that in your sovereignty, you will keep them from being able to access a vehicle. Lord, may you give safety to all those who are out enjoying tonight. Give them safety from any way they might be harmed. Lord, we pray that gospel seeds in this city that have been planted this year by churches across the city will begin to bear fruit. Pray that seeds have been planted by us in this neighborhood as well as in every neighborhood, that as people reflect on another year gone by, it'll be an opportunity for them to begin to consider the deep things of life and even more importantly, eternity. Lord, may you do this work. Oh, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, we also pray for your churches in Louisville. We want to lift up Audubon Baptist Church. Lord, I ask that as they enter a new year, you will give spiritual renewal to their pastors and their deacons, that they might start the new year refreshed, encouraged, ready to follow their Lord wherever he may lead them in this year. I pray that Audubon will be marked by deep discipleship, a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ that knows no bounds and that is full of life and joy. And we pray that they as a church will have a renewed commitment to Jesus and to his commission. Oh Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those who are not able to be with us, for Juanita and Maple, Brenda, Norm, and Carol and Ronnie. May your peace be on them this morning. Amen. Will please stand for our confession of faith. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, we'll dismiss our kids and workers for nursery. Please stand as we continue in worship. You're in my spot.
Our hope in life and death, Christ alone, what is our only confidence that our souls to Him belong, who holds our days within His hand, what comes apart from His command. Will keep us to the end. The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess. Christ, our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good, God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our grave, to the grave, what will we see? Christ, He lives, Christ, He lives, and what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him, there we will rise to meet the Lord, then sin and death will be.
Psalm 119, 1 through 8. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. When I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus, this is your word that we just heard read. And we know because of that we can trust it with all our being, because we trust you. And we ask that through your word you'll speak to us. We ask that we will come into your very presence, and that your word will do the work that our heart needs this morning. You know every person in this room. You know all that has happened this week, the good and the bad. And so, Lord, may your word speak. We are listening. We pray this in Jesus' holy and beautiful and majestic and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you. What do you say after? Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Or Merry Christmas. It's confusing. Or do you say, you know, Happy Festivus? Anyways, I've been thinking about this Happy New Year thing we do when we say Happy New Year. And it's occurred to me that when you say Merry Christmas and the person responds Happy New Year, or you say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, what that is basically a secular, what I mean by secular is a not particularly religious blessing, a socially acceptable secular blessing. Because what are you saying when you say Happy New Year? You're saying, may you have a Happy New Year. That's a blessing formula. You see this all in the Bible. Probably the best known one is Numbers 6:24. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. So it's a societally acceptable way to bless someone. May you have a happy new year. And it's an appropriate blessing because everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants 2024 to be a happy new year. We want it not just in a superficial sense of happy clappy or just some kind of ephemeral, temporary, emotional feeling, but we want deep contentness, deep fullness, deep life. And so it's an appropriate thing to say, but there's a problem here, which is when you say have a happy new year, what exactly is happiness? What exactly do we want to happen? I will probably never again quote a motivational speaker, but if you're going to quote a motivational speaker, New Year's Eve is probably the day to do it. But Tony Robbins says it well. He says you can't hit a target if you don't know what it is. And so when I say Happy New Year, or you say Happy New Year to me, and we mean it very well, but the question is, what is happiness that we might have that in the new year? Or to use a more biblical word, what is blessedness? What is true blessedness? Now, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm by a long shot of all the psalms. And it begins by telling us what blessedness or what real happiness is. And even more than that, it points us to the only person who ever lived, who lived a truly blessed life, whose name is Jesus, who gives us his blessedness. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're looking at the first 8 verses of Psalm 119 in our outline. I'm going to be following 3 questions that kind of build on each other. First question, and which is the first point, what is true blessedness? Second point, whom is true blessedness? Third point, where is true blessedness? So again, if you haven't turned to Psalm 119, it's helpful to kind of read along as we do this. We move in verses 1 to 8. But first point, what is true blessedness? Now, quick overview of Psalm 119. I mentioned it's the longest psalm in the Bible. And the reason it's so long is it's an acrostic poem. If you know what an acrostic poem is, it's where every line begins with a letter, an intentional first letter, and you can then read down and read something. And Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem of the Hebrew alphabet. And so each 8-verse stanza covers a different Hebrew alphabet. So if you look at your Bible, it begins with Aleph, which is, when you think of A as the first letter in the English alphabet, Aleph is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So if you want to, you know, impress people, if you, you know, If you're not in seminary, no one's impressed if you're in seminary, but if you're not in seminary, you can impress people and say, anyways, I don't know what you do, but that's what that means. And if you could read in Hebrew, each line in this first eight verses begins with the letter Aleph. So that's just some background. Let's go ahead and look at verses 1-2. Again, what is true blessedness? Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. So again, what is true blessedness? Well, there's two parts that we see in the psalm. The first part of true blessedness is knowing God through his law. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, something helpful to understand, when the Bible uses the word law, it can use it in a narrow sense, which refers typically to just the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, or even just to the law that God gave Moses on Sinai. That is the law. But oftentimes, the Bible uses the law much more broadly for basically God's revelation of who he is and what he wants for us. And so that's how it's being used here in Psalm 119. And so it says, blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. You could substitute that as those who walk in the word of God, in the scriptures, the revelation of who God is. And so again, what's the first part of true blessedness? It's knowing God through his word. Now you may pause and say, Mike, okay, I'm reading this as you told me to, and I notice it does not say blessed are those who know the law of God, but it says those who walk. It's those who keep God's testimonies who are blessed. That's true, and we'll get to that. But just to state the obvious, you can't keep something you don't know. You can't walk in something, have your life be so engaged with something that it's flavored, the aroma of this, unless you're intimately acquainted with what it is. And in fact, as you go through Psalm 119, which we won't this morning, but if you did, that's a common theme of knowing God's word. In the next stanza, Psalm 119:11, I've stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Again, knowing God's word, memorizing it. Or Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law. Again, true blessedness is knowing God through his word. And in a day, in an age of fake news and AI revolution and highly polarized and partisan journalism, in a day when people will say with a straight face, well, that may be true for you, but it's not for me, right, as if truth is like zip code defined, you know, based on your zip code, we can know that truth has fallen on hard times. Now here's the thing, that truth matters. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And because we as humans are knowing beings, which means we are able to reason and think through things and come to conclusions, how we think, how we reason, the conclusions we come to, even if they are absurd and inconsistent and make no sense, they form us as beings. They form how we act. And so what we know, how we know, makes a huge deal. And so the first part of true blessedness is knowing the truth of God, his ways, his purposes, the way he has ordered life to be. But again, merely knowing who God is and knowing about him and his word is not enough. And in fact, that's not what's emphasized in this psalm. The second part of true blessedness is then walking in the law, as it says, or walking in God's word. Again, verse 1, blessed are those whose way is blameless and who walk in the law of the Lord. Again, it's interesting. So again, blessed are those who hear the words of God and do them. But this isn't just a matter of just external obedience. Here's the rules I need to keep, check them off my box. It says, notice it doesn't say, blessed are those who do what the Bible says. It says, blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. And the psalm's not just being poetic. It's being intentional. This is a common Hebrew way of describing the whole way of life. Again, let your life be flavored by this. May this be the aroma of your life. May it be what drives you and motivates you and grounds you. In other words, there's a difference, which I want us to get to here, between obeying a law, a rule, and walking in it. And I'm going to give you an example. When I was in high school, I mostly went to public high school. My freshman year of high school, I went to a Christian private school, and it had a hair code for the men. I don't know if I had one for the women. It may have just been you have to have hair if you're a woman. But for men, your hair could not be more than halfway down your ears, and it couldn't touch an Oxford collar, which is just in the back. And the spirit of the rule, what they're going for is we want our young men to look clean-cut, presentable, respectable. That was the spirit. That's what they were going for. But the letter of the law was it can't be more than halfway down your ears, can't touch collar. So I'm a freshman, and I was a skater kid at the time, and skater kids don't look clean-cut. Does not fit the persona. And so I literally would cut my hair over my ears at halfway, and I would cut it in the back so it never touched my collar, and then I let everything else grow. And I was obeying the letter of the law, but obviously I was not walking in that law. Again, to walk in the law of the Lord means to seek the Lord and obey it from the bottom of our heart. And this is where it gets in the second part of, I'm sorry, in verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with their whole hearts. To fulfill the will of God doesn't just mean behaving in certain ways or not behaving in certain ways, fulfilling the letter of the law, but it means accepting and embracing and loving God's word and then walking in it. And the rest of the stanza is basically reiterating that this is blessedness. Knowing God and walking in his ways. Verse 2, keeping his precepts. Verse 3, walking in his ways, doing no wrong. Verse 4, keeping his statutes, and on and on and on. This is true blessedness. Knowing God through his word and walking in his word. Now, the question is, why is this true blessedness? For some of us who naturally love to read, it's obvious. Well, I love reading the Bible. For some of us who maybe don't as naturally love reading, may not be as obvious. But either way, the reason why knowing God through his word and walking in it is true blessedness is because when we do that, we come to know God himself. And we encounter the living God who speaks and knows your name and has numbered the hairs on your head. Scripture, especially, you know, for us who love to study the Bible, we always have to remember that Scripture is not a puzzle we're trying to solve. It's not a dead carcass on the table we're trying to figure out. The ins and outs, like you're a medical student. First year physiology. But knowing and living out the scriptures is blessedness, because when we do so from the bottom of our hearts, we encounter the living God who still speaks right to our hearts. For in the end, again, Bible trivia won't set you free. It's Jesus that will set you free. And in the word, we come to the word. And so this is blessedness, to know God through his word and to walk in it. Now, again, let's apply this to our lives. We all want to have a blessed 2024. We want to flourish. We want a full life. We want to be content. And so what this psalm is telling us is if you want true blessedness, if you want full contentment, full life, then commit yourself to knowing God in his word and walking in his ways. Yeah, I'm not a huge New Year's resolutions person. In fact, I don't think I've ever made a New Year's resolution in my life, an honest one. But this is the only New Year's resolution you can make where there's a promise of blessedness in it. you may resolve to eat better or to watch less TV or have better life habits, and they'll probably go well for you. It might also, might not. But this is a promise that if you do this, this is blessedness. It will lead to blessedness. So here's my question for us. Do we believe that? Like, do we really believe that God has made us a promise that in his word, if we know him through his word and we walk in his word, that that will lead us to blessedness? And maybe to make it even a little bit, be a little bit more real here, if someone, an outside observer, could look at your life in 2023, would it be clear to them that you believe that there's blessedness in the word of God? What an incredible promise. You don't know what 2024 is going to bring. I don't know what 2024 is going to bring. If you know God through his word and you walk in it and you meditate on it and chew it, memorize it and try to do what it says, you'll be blessed. You will have the favor of God. You will walk closely with God. You will experience his presence. So what is true blessedness? Again, it's knowing God through his word and walking in it. That's our first point. What is true blessedness? Second point, whom is true blessedness? Now, here's the thing. This psalm, as helpful as it is, can be a crushing burden. Because, again, notice who is blessed. Well, again, it's the one whose way is blameless, who walks in the law of the Lord. It doesn't say the one who tries his best is blessed, or the one who shows the most improvement, or the one who has the best of intentions. It does, and again, not to contradict what I just said, it doesn't say the one who reads his Bible every day or her Bible every day is blessed. It says the one whose way is blameless, who walks with perfect integrity, with perfect consistency, day in and day out, never being hypocritical or inconsistent, loving God with their whole heart, the one who seeks to follow God's ways from the very bottom of his or her heart. That person is blessed. And so here's another question. Okay, if knowing God through his word and walking his ways is true blessedness, what if we know God and his ways, and yet we're not able to walk in them? Then what? What's the outcome then? And this is what Paul's getting at when he writes in Romans 7:10. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. When we can see where blessedness is, and yet we can't do it, then the commandment is death to us, is despair. Because if we're really honest with ourselves, the depths of our hearts are murky and contradictory. And yes, there's a part of us that wants to do what's right and strives. And there is another part of us that doesn't. And that honestly resents God for even asking us to do something we wouldn't want to do. And so far from bringing blessing on its own, Psalm 119, apart from the narrative of Scripture, apart from what comes later in the Bible, Psalm 119 brings death. Because we see what blessedness is, and none of us can walk in it. None of us will have a happy new year. And that's why Paul ends Romans 7 with that profound, wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me? But he doesn't end there. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is a good time to remember that all of Scripture points us to Jesus. Every part of it in some way is pointing us or preparing us for the coming of Jesus. Because what Psalm 119 is describing is not, hey, this is your checklist for what you need to do in this coming year. It's describing Jesus. Because Jesus was the only man who ever lived, or the only woman. He wasn't a woman. He's the only person that ever lived who walked a perfectly blameless life and who walked in the law of the Lord perfectly. And so in the end, the real question is not what is blessedness. It's, again, whom is blessedness? And it's Jesus. Let's look at how Jesus fulfilled this psalm. It says, again, blessed are those whose way is blameless. And Jesus' way was perfectly blameless. Peter describes it in this way in his epistle. He says, For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, so you might follow his steps. And here we get to what I'm getting at. He committed no sin, and neither was deceit found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Jesus lived a blameless life, one of perfect integrity. And here's the thing is, he didn't do it when he was on vacation or when he had the day off or when life was going well. He did it when he was being betrayed and when he was suffering and when he was committing great sacrifices. He did it in all the times when we come apart at the seams, when we don't live blamelessly. That's when Jesus lived blamelessly, with a perfect, consistent integrity and wholeness before God. This is, again, it says he committed no sin. This is why at the end of his life, when his enemies are trying to take him down, Jesus, who had lived 3 years, a very public life, like there was no privacy back then, right? There were no hot mic moments because, he had surrounded by his 12 disciples and the hundreds more. He said many, many words, and yet no one was able to find even a fraction of something that they could hold against him. They had to lie, make it up. Well, Jesus said this. No, he didn't. That's how blameless Jesus was. No, You guys could find things that I've done that's not blameless. Nothing that's disqualifying. Mark is like, Mike, don't make yourself sound worse than you are. But I'm not perfect. You could find times when I lost my temper, times when I was impatient, proud. They couldn't find anything on Jesus. That's how blameless he was. Jesus fulfills this. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. That's Christ. But also the second part. Blessed are those who seek him with their whole heart. Again, in verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies and seek him with their whole heart. Again, that's Jesus. Jesus said in John 5:30, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. All of Jesus' life was marked by one desire, and that was to please his Father. That's what it means to seek God with your whole heart, everything you have. And Jesus fulfilled that. To keep going through the psalm, in verse 5, Jesus alone was steadfast in keeping God's statutes. Verse 7, Jesus alone praised the Father with a completely upright heart. And that's why the Father made public testimony about his Son in two different times. Once at his baptism, when he spoke, said, "You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." It's because his Son lived a blameless life. Or at his transfiguration before Peter, James, and John, he said, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And so again, whom is true blessedness? Well, it's Jesus Christ, the blameless and faithful Son of God. But this still doesn't answer our deepest question. Because I don't think you came here this morning wanting a theoretical, like, oh, what is blessedness? What might it look like? You want to know how can we experience this kind of blessedness? Where is this blessedness? And this brings us to our third point. So our first point, what is true blessedness? It's knowing God through his word and walking in it. Whom is true blessedness? It's Jesus Christ, the only blessed person who ever lived. But again, third, where is true blessedness? And here's where we see that Jesus doesn't just fulfill the blessedness part of the psalm, but he filled all of it. Even verse 8. Look at verse 8. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. That's a very interesting way to end the stanza. The psalmist, under the inspiration of the Spirit, is laying out what blessedness is, and he gets to the end of it and knows, well, I don't qualify. This is blessedness, but I've never done this. And so he finishes with this heartbroken plea. Don't forsake me. God, don't treat me how I deserve. But Jesus Christ, who is truly blameless, who loved God with all his heart, he was forsaken for you and me. He was forsaken on the cross. Matthew 27, as he was dying on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or as Paul describes it, gives it a theological interpretation in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, God the Father made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So where is true blessedness? It's the same answer as whom is true blessedness. It's in Jesus Christ. True blessedness in 2024, brothers and sisters, is found in the one who became sin for you so that you might receive the blessedness that Christ had, which is righteousness, the righteousness of God. For by faith, by believing in Jesus, you receive as a gift of immeasurable worth Christ's own blessedness. And by walking in the Word of God, by walking in Jesus himself, we remain in that blessedness. And there are times when the Spirit of Jesus gives us echoes of the blessedness we will have with Christ for all eternity, when he floods our souls with peace and contentment. And they're just echoes. They don't last all the time. They're just foreshadows of what we're going to experience. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. That which we long for, happiness, joy, contentment, blessedness. I want you to know that it's here. I want to be more clear. He is here. He has come, and he's with you by his Spirit. That for which you long for more than anything else, even if you can't name it, He's here. For Jesus himself is true blessedness. Because again, we all yearn for blessedness. The alcoholic yearns for blessedness. It's just that they yearn for it in the bottom of a bottle. The workaholic yearns for blessedness. It's just that they yearn for it in their career and what they hope to accomplish. The retiree yearns for blessedness and enjoying their golden years. The student or the budding seminarian yearns for blessedness and good grades or one day in a fruitful ministry. The young parent yearns for blessedness and the health and well-being of their children. And the old yearn for blessedness in the hope that their life has meant something. But true blessedness, fellowship with God, favor with God, the forgiveness of sins, it's only found in Jesus Christ, and it can only be received as a gift by faith. And so that happiness and that blessedness which you long for more than anything this year, you can only receive when you're finally willing to, one, admit that it is indeed what you are yearning for, and two, that you cannot acquire it on your own. That there's nothing in you can bring to deserve it. There's nothing in you you can do to earn it. There's no amount of work you can do. It can only be received once you admit, I can do nothing. But Jesus has acquired it for us, and he gives it to any who ask in faith and repentance. And so, beloved, this new year, center your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, because he alone is true blessedness. And there's a lot of good things that are going to happen this year, a lot of good things in your life, a lot of good dreams and hopes that you all have. And all I would say is don't let those crowd out what is the true source of blessedness, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus himself. Keep him before your eyes. For in the midst of the victories and the failures and the faithlessness and the faithfulness that we will all experience this coming year, Jesus alone remains true blessedness, and he alone remains faithful. From him alone do we receive the blessedness that our hearts yearn for. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that we will know the blessedness that comes from knowing you. I pray that we will come again and again in faith, knowing that we cannot find blessedness, we cannot earn blessedness, we cannot white-knuckle our way to blessedness, but only can we receive it. And that you delight to give if we will only ask. Jesus, may you remove all things in our lives that tempt us to find blessedness in other things and tempt us towards other places. Show us over and again that what we yearn for, what we long for, is found only in you. That in you we find all the answers to our questions and all the reconciliations of every tension. We find it in you alone, in your very person, in your death and your resurrection, in the hope of you coming back. We thank you for your kindness and your mercies. In your beautiful name we pray. Amen.
You stand and respond.
Mine are days that God has numbered. I was made to walk with him. Yet I look for worldly treasure. Tears in
Well, at Vine Street Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God is living and active, and that when it is proclaimed, it merits a response. So let's take a few moments to silently reflect on the sermon and what we can take from it as we leave this place. Now hear this benediction from Romans 15, verses 4 through 6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace.